catch those springtime vibes all over Arizona. Break out of the winter blues by hitting the water at one of our lake and river parks. Take a hike among the wildflowers. Just make sure to stay on the trails and leave the flowers for the bees. Discover Arizona's best kept secret and visit azstateparks.com/amazing to start your springtime adventure.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
You're listening to Nightmare on Film Street. The current time is 6:66. Traffic is clear ahead from here to the afterlife, but it's hell outside. For the next hour, you're on Nightmare Time. So, let's give a grave welcome to our hosts, John and Kim.
Hello again, fiends, and welcome back to Nightmare on Film Street, the horror movie podcast for the casually obsessed. I'm John.
I'm Kim.
And this week, we're closing out.
You're closing it? We're closing the gates?
We're closing the gates once and for all until next time. I mean, I'd say half the movies we talk about in this podcast are about the gates of hell.
I love me a hell gate.
Isn't it great?
It's just always a good time.
Right? I mean, it's the one...
I mean, except for with this movie.
Really?
Oh, John, I am judging you entirely.
Wow. Okay, I was like, I'm doing such a good job. I'm pairing the perfect movie with The Sentinel, which Kim loved. She's going to equally love this one.
Great pairing, John. Great choice.
Don't you think?
Thematically, yes.
Yeah. Now, if
was this a watchable film?
Okay. Did you have you're laughing a lot. Did you have a good time?
I had a great time.
There you go. I think that's all that matters. Now, I'm going to say this right now. I was stressing out about it 5 minutes ago before we started. I think we need to change the rating system for the podcast.
What do you mean?
When was the last time we
rated? It's arbitrary.
I know. But like, when was the last time we rated a movie below 3 out of 4? Like, it's either 3, 3.5, or 4 out of 4. Because we pick the movies.
I feel like I rate things lower.
Yeah, you rate things lower.
I'm rating this lower.
Damn. All right, well, we'll table this discussion for a little later. Fuck. Okay, so it's just me then.
I don't know what this was.
This was the perfect drive-in double feature. Are you kidding me?
I felt like it was 4 a.m. and it was 9 p.m.
That's exactly. That's why you watch a movie like City of the Living
Dead. That's why you watch Fulci.
Pretty much. Yeah, I watched this movie for the first time.
By the way, we're talking about City of the Living Dead. We never mentioned the title of the film.
I said it a second ago.
You did, but you didn't give it any fanfare.
I think that's because you derailed this podcast immediately.
It's because you were lying!
With your opinions. God damn,
You were just like, we love everything on this podcast.
One of us does.
John, this movie's bonkers.
Yeah, absolutely. If I went to the drive-in and the second movie wasn't bonkers, I'm upset.
Yeah, but
I stayed up late for this. I need puzzles in my head and just like stars in my eyes on the drive home. You know how fucking late it is when you leave the drive-in?
Sure, fine. What are your three good things?
Three good things about City of the Living Dead. We got a girl buried alive, like Edgar Allan Poe style, with the most unsafe rescue ever.
Yep. Number two, possessed sex doll.
There's a possessed sex doll. It never really, yeah.
No reason why. No,
just inflates with purely evil. Never does anything else beyond that.
Evil intentions, that's all.
That's all. Good thing number three, girl barfs out all of her guts. every single one of her organs out the mouth after making out with her boyfriend, which is pretty wonderful.
Yeah, that was something.
Lots of bleeding eyes, too.
The effects are pretty good in this movie.
That's right. We're going to try and get Kim to bump up at least a half a point by the end of this episode.
It's not happening.
And we're going to try our damnedest.
You can answer some questions is what you can do.
Yeah, I can definitely do that. I don't understand why this is such a big deal. The Sentinel, pure nightmare imagery. Fulci, literally steeped in nightmare imagery. I was born in nightmare imagery. Like, that's what you go to Fulci for.
This movie gave me so many whys, though.
You know what? And that's the thing. Isn't this, and I've said this about David Lynch movies, and it drives you fucking nuts. Isn't this more real to life than some other movies you'll watch?
Yeah, but I'm saying...
Because you don't get answers in life.
But I'm saying why not to the film itself, but to the filmmaker. I'm not saying why to the story. I'm saying, why are we doing this? What does this mean? Why is this happening?
Kim's staring down at this guy.
Why
on
a maggot
knees.
Snow machine? Why an inflatable sex doll? Why John John?
And here's the biggest why of it all. Why does it all work? Why does it all fit together? We'll never know. But here we are experiencing it in awe.
I just want to make that Marge noise.
Fuck. This is what it's all about. This is what watching movies with your wife is all about, where you don't realize until you're in front of microphones that she hates it and you love it.
Honestly, it was so hard for me to watch that film silently.
I thought you were having a great time.
I was so confused.
Oh, I thought you were having a blast.
I was profoundly confuddled, and then we had to go to bed so we could record this when we woke up, uh-huh. And it's been like 10 hours of me just trying not to implode.
Living dead. A cursed city where the gates of hell have been opened.
You've got to. You must reclose those gates.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special broadcast, on which police authorities have declared a state of emergency, effective immediately within Dunwich County. All citizens are requested to return to their homes as quickly as possible. In case of necessity, contact this station. DWC. The telephone number is 8259881. All citizens are urged to remain calm.
Did you see, when you were in this trance, did you see anything besides that tombstone?
Oh, yes. I saw a priest who, by hanging himself, opened the gates of hell.
She's still here. She's still in the house. No, she's in here. No, she's still in the house. I don't want to see her anymore. Jerry, get her out. Please, tell her to go. She's in here. Do you hear her?
Guess what? It's All Saints Day.
A demanding, implacable enemy whose search for blood is never satiated.
Well, City of the Living Dead. It's also got, like every Fulci movie, it's got 100 different titles. It's also called The Gates of Hell. It's the beginning of the Gates of Hell trilogy, including The Beyond.
Oh, this is the opener.
Yeah. And The House by the Cemetery.
Oh, I love that movie.
Which is a movie I hope I never have to talk about, because much like we're having this discussion here, I don't like that one very much.
That one's a mess, but it's charming.
Mm. How do you think I feel about this one? Anyway, City of the Living Dead currently sitting at a 6.2 out of 10 on IMDb. Pretty respectable for IMDb. A moderate 40% on Rotten Tomatoes.
We can all agree that Beyond is the best one, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
And
at least we're not wrong.
3.4 out of 5 on Letterboxd. No, this is clearly a second, a close second.
A late third entry.
Damn, man. There were moments in this movie that I thought you were just rocking with it. You were like, hell yeah, it's Killer Priest, he's back, baby! He's got the power of Satan now that he's committed suicide! Oh. Oh.
Okay, we gotta walk through this movie beat by beat, because the plot...
Don't make me do that.
The plot. Oh, the plot.
Yeah. I've heard there is one.
So we exist in a world... In a world where seances occur.
Okay.
And Mary Woodhouse's die, maybe, question mark. So the head psychic. I don't even know her name because she's only in the beginning, but she speaks with such authority that you assume she's going to be a lead character. She also introduces the Book of Enoch, which you're like, I better write this down. This is important. It's going to come up
including
later.
A journalist who talks to her. Yeah, no, it never comes back up.
Never comes back up. Nope. Psychic is gone in the first 10 minutes.
Yep.
She's just there to be like, oh yeah, the gates of hell open. Better deal. Yeah, so we're at a seance, and there's two psychics, I'm assuming. Or Mary has just been possessed, and she's like, oh my god, I see Dunwich, and shit's going down there. Some priest killed himself, and for some reason, which we are not going to explain, gates of hell have opened because of this single suicide. It's all written in the Book of Enoch, which we will not let you read or explain, but we must go. Traverse!
You don't think this maps? Like, you don't think the math on this checks out? A priest in Dunwich, which was originally, like, the grounds for the Salem witch trials, I think. At the very least, it's in New England.
Yeah, that's kind of what they said.
Yeah, that's what they said in the movie.
They're like, this is old Salem. We're like, Salem's still there.
So we got a priest committing suicide, the ultimate cardinal sin, as we learned last week in The Sentinel, damning his soul forever, intentionally, in an area where there's been nothing but witchcraft. That's just bad juju in the air.
Why?
Gates of hell open.
Why did he kill himself?
Does it matter?
What was his relationship with God and the devil?
Do you want, like, a season and a half backstory?
Was there always a gate
him?
There? Was it locked? Did he unlock it with his death?
Yeah, clearly. Yeah. In fact, they say that in the movie.
I want to read this Book of Enoch.
Also, I don't know if the Book of Enoch is 4,000 years old. I'm not entirely sure. I think that's, like, an Aleister Crowley thing.
Is it a real book?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. I thought she made it up.
I mean, it's real in the sense that magic is real, you know, and that every other weird thing Aleister Crowley said was real. And it's real if you believe it. And that's also kind of true about this movie in a sense, right? Like, it's all, as long as you don't look at it and study it too closely, it fucking works. All of the horror scenes in this movie
are
great.
Mary dies because she breaks the circle.
She
because
dies of
she's
fright
possessed.
At the seance.
And she's
we're
like,
just both gonna
ugh, Dunwich, ugh, death. And then they bury her. And then there's two, like, really unprofessional
Kim
grave diggers.
Doesn't care
who
about
just
this movie
clock
at
out
all.
When they're not even done. And then some journalist is like, hey, can I hang out here by this grave for reasons? Because I have to write an article. And then he hears her screaming and he's like, nah, I don't. And then he hears her screaming and he's like, nah, I don't.
Well, okay,
and
this,
then he hears
this,
her screaming
yeah,
and he's like, nah,
out.
I don't.
He waits so long.
It's 20 minutes of the movie.
If you heard pounding and screaming in a cemetery, you would never shake it off.
He
like
never
that.
Moves closer. He's like 15 yards away and there's like planes flying by because we're in Savannah, I mean New York City.
Yes, yes.
He's like, what was that I heard? Maybe I heard some undead. Maybe you know. No, I don't hear it. I'm going to light my cigar. I'm not going to move any closer.
Yeah, he hears a girl scream and then he rescues her from her. Her coffin is in the shallowest grave I've ever seen. It's maybe 3 feet tall. She's got a sprinkling of dirt on top. And he's like, we got to break this thing open with a pickaxe. There's no time to just brush off the dust and look for the lid.
And open it.
No, he just starts.
He wouldn't
driving.
Have even had to go in the grave. He could have just crouched yeah. to be able to open it.
Oh yeah, it took way more work to do the pickaxe. And he's also like, better bury this pickaxe right where that screaming head is. Like, was he just hoping the screaming would stop? What if
was
what
he trying
if,
to murder her? He was like, this corpse is coming back.
What would you do if you just you finally open the lid and she's dead because you hit her in the face with a pickaxe?
I thought that's what was going to happen because she did a false double death in there because she was scratching the cover and there was blood all over it. And you're like, ooh, that's super eerie. The mm-hmm. inside is all filled with scratch marks. And they're like, she wasn't dead. And then she false dies. And then she wakes up again and screams.
And she runs out of air.
She found more? Whatever. Doesn't matter. This is not important. The fact is that Mary didn't die.
There is no enthusiasm in Kim's voice talking about any of this
shit. It's not important.
You love seances.
I do.
I can't believe you didn't appreciate this, like, hippie drug den seance in New York City where the cops show up. They're like, what kind of drugs were you on? You on smack? What were you on?
You on grass?
You on acid? Is it all down the toilet? And then fire comes up out of the floor from
nowhere.
Oh,
yeah, the fire.
And the police officer
what
just
What was
like,
the fire? What was that?
Premonition. Bad omen. What do you want from me, man? The spirits are alive, and we gotta do something about it. Like, clearly that was them. It was hellfire. I'm grasping at straws here. But it's just, like, weird occurrences, things that don't make any sense. By all accounts, it was all in the Book of Enoch, which is the real reason why the lady doesn't want to go with them. She's like, I already know how this story ends.
Guys should do it.
Yeah. You go meet that annoying kid named John. All of these Fulci movies have, like, an annoying kid overdubbed.
Okay,
so
House
poorly.
By the Cemetery has the worst.
Yeah, book. Truly.
But still better than this movie.
Wow, that hurts. I love that scene where he's rescuing her from the cemetery from being buried alive. I just think it's great.
It's just really unprofessional.
Yeah, I know. That's it's outlandish. It doesn't make any sense. It's hilarious.
Also, later in the film, we go to a funeral parlor. We see embalming process. We know this universe has embalming processes.
Yeah. So she requested not to be embalmed.
She just wanted to, like, raw dog death.
You can do that. You don't have to be embalmed.
Yeah, but you don't want to go in a coffin if you're doing that. You want to go in, like, a little paper sack and go under a tree.
You're talking from, like, 2023 brain. Like, you gotta remember this is 1980. You know? Like, nobody's getting turned into dust and then put into a crystal and then added to, like, a cat's necklace, you know? Like, that's just not happening.
Just in case I'm not really dead, can you please bury me with a mirror in there so I can see myself?
What's up with the mirror?
Yeah, it's
freaky.
Oh,
I would hate to see that.
No, that's not what I want.
It would all be bad. Like, if that's the kind of thing you're asking for, just put a string attached to a bell on the tombstone.
I would, like, just for old time's sakes, I would like that. I would like that kind
and the
of
bell?
Yeah, just to be goth about it.
Okay.
Just to, like, add a little Poe finesse to my burial.
I wonder if that's a thing that they will do. Because, like, how hard is it?
Can you give me the Victorian bell, please?
I
would like the Victorian.
Please give me the bell.
I'd like the Victorian bell package, please.
It's my last dying wish. And then, yeah, just, like, leave shiny things around for crows to come by. Like, yeah, that's true. How do you make your gravesite look the most haunted? Anyway, this.
I mean, if you set it up so that there's, like, a secret little solar thing, so that, like, it's an automaton and it rings the bell, and so people in the graveyard are just, like, constantly hearing a bell ring. And
oh, I love that idea.
That would be. But then,
I mean, wouldn't the wind occasionally knock it?
That's true. Yeah. They're like, she's alive.
We can't bury her.
I'm
it's
like,
too
we're
windy.
Not- we're not unburying her again.
Again.
She's still dead.
The journalist gets roped in just to answer your question because he hears about him.
Did I ask?
No, you're like, then there's a journalist. I don't know why he's there. I don't know why you went to the cemetery. Oh, this fucking movie.
Why was he in the cemetery?
Because he heard about a mysterious death in the building. The police wouldn't let him in for him to just ask some questions about it. So he then went to the cemetery. I think
he
probably
was going to ask the corpse.
Right. I do love that he's just walking around doing nothing, taking notes, writing on top of the tombstone, like using that like a desk or on top of the coffin. I think he was probably just hoping to run into somebody who knew about the death. Mm. There's nobody at this funeral.
Yeah, it was weird to see her being like interred with nobody there.
Maybe that just wasn't like a big thing outside of the movies. It's in every movie I've ever seen, doing like the graveside interment.
Yeah, I didn't think it was a real thing either, but then people started dying around me and I was like, oh, we actually do this.
Oh, we do. We go to the gravesite. Yeah, this is great. I love this.
I really love this. I'm so glad I wore heels to this funeral.
Okay, well, anyway, she's obviously alive. We go back to the psychic. They tell us about her visions. We learn a little bit more about what's going on. And the journalist isn't necessarily, I guess, he's just supposed to be a naturally curious character because he's a journalist. Like, he's always looking for a story. So they don't exactly know what's going on. But because of the visions Mary was having at the seance when she almost died of fright, we've got to make our way down to Dunwich and find the cemetery of this priest who killed himself.
Because we have to do things.
We got to close the gates of hell before All Saints Day.
Okay, so do they know how they're doing that? Because
no.
Because it sure doesn't look like they have a plan.
They do not know. Everything's written in the Book of Enoch except that. Like, well, so, that's okay. The one thing.
So the thing I like most about this movie, there are two things I really enjoy about this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone is a terrible driver.
Okay.
And if you watch it, like, the entire world around them knows that they're a terrible driver. It's a very good movie because there's a lot of honking sound effects, and I like to assume that the lead characters are constantly getting honked at. Two, Mary, post her brush with death experience, she is so positive. She has such a positive, cheery outlook on life.
Wouldn't you?
You would not believe she is going to close the gates of hell in, like, a time crunch. Two-day time crunch. She's like, let's go for lunch!
She's just stoked not to have been buried alive.
I mean, she was buried
alive. Would be great after, well, everything would be great after that.
She's just so chipper. No trauma from her near-death experience at all.
Do you want six seasons of this?
Like,
hour and a half.
I want her to be a little bit more emo about the process. She's going to the gates of hell, and she's like, okay, let's go. I'm about it.
I don't think that that's her attitude.
That is her attitude.
I think she's just like, we have one day left to close the gates. All Saints Day is tomorrow. There's a lot of that.
It's All Saints Day. Right now.
I know. Like, they create this ticking clock, and then we get to the climax of the movie, and she's like, oh, shit, it's midnight. because the ghouls are so slow to get going, like, it's okay. It's all right that we're fashionably late. Like, we don't have to close the gates right away. It would just be better if we did it before All Saints Day, but, like, we'll get to
it. Isn't the time change right around there? Maybe they weren't late.
You think that's what it was?
I don't know. I'm trying to give them grace.
They didn't account for daylight savings time. Okay, well, we get to Dunwich. There's all sorts of weird shit happening in Dunwich. Even the guys at the bar, like, this place hadn't been the same since old Father Thomas killed himself. Which Kim
assumed was in, like, 1882.
Kim thinks that this Mary girl was having psychic visions of something that happened 100 years ago.
Even though
everybody around her is talking, not Kim, but, like, everybody in the movie is talking about how Father Thomas killed himself very recently. We even go to his tomb, and it says 1980.
Yeah,
on
that
it.
Was a surprise.
90 minutes into this, like, 98-minute movie, Kim's like, oh, this wasn't in the past. Oh, I understand. Maybe that would have been
the
unlock
code. Well, because I was like, why are the gates of hell open now?
But so Father Thomas is showing up all over the place, causing all kinds of terror.
All gaunt and undead,
constantly rehanging himself in front of people.
I like that, though.
He's got some fucking, like, Bela Lugosi eyes.
I wouldn't give Father Thomas that much credit, but I do like that he keeps appearing, like, as a hanging man.
Yeah.
I love the idea of the ghost being in, like, their death state. Just the idea of feet not touching the ground for a ghost is always creepy, but if they actually had the noose around their neck and are being hung in, like, whatever location they're haunting you... Fucking terrifying.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
I like that.
And he just pops up and he blips away.
All the undead appear and disappear like the genie in I Dream of Genie. They're like, here to haunt you. Goodbye.
Yeah, and it totally works. I don't know why. Like, maybe I just...
It's fun.
Maybe I just like the movie. You've got me on my heels here.
But no, I'm saying I like that.
I think
it's fun. It's nifty.
So many other movies, if you had the ghosts just pop up out of nowhere for no reason and then disappear... I would probably find it a little cheesy and annoying.
Well,
I think it really works.
We're kind of on a countdown, so I'm assuming they're not, like, at full power. These are just, like, the stragglers who broke through early.
Uh-huh.
We're not at full City of the Dead, right, yet?
City of the Living Dead.
Sure.
City of the Dead, different movie with Christopher Lee.
Okay. Yeah, we're just, like, not at full invasion yet, so we just got, like, the most recent Evilers.
Evilers.
And something.
God damn it.
Appear and disappear.
What did you think of the special effects in this movie?
They were gross.
So gross, right?
So gross.
I told you this movie was gross.
Very gross.
Lots of gore, lots of body parts, lots of just rotting flesh and stuff.
Can you explain to me the incidents with the worm poo piles?
The worm poo pile.
If this was like the plague coming and it starts with rivers of blood and locusts and it increases in anger.
Uh-huh.
It starts with wormy poop pile.
The seventh day. The first day is wormy poop pile.
There are a couple wormy poop piles and then they never come back.
I think it's just rotting flesh. I think it's guts and maggots. It's as though he just stuck his hand into a rotting corpse, grabbed a mittful, and smashed it on a girl's face. She dies of cardiac arrest because it's so gross. and then later crawls out of her own coffin to just squeeze people's brains out. Multiple people in this movie get the back of their head grabbed and just fucking just crushed under the power of these ghouls.
Yeah.
Their brains are spilling out in their hands and shit.
Fulci must have had like a great butcher's offcuts hookup, because there's just like a lot of definitely animal innards being used in this movie.
Yeah.
Particularly that intestine sequence, which, you know what, novel, marvelous, really fucking gross. Like, that was definitely like a cow.
Are we talking about the kids on like Lover's Lane? They're definitely parked in front of her parents' house, but like
the
they're
intestines,
making out.
Yeah.
Man. Love that fucking scene.
No, it's great.
It's like,
your insides coming out your mouth. Like,
I hope that girl
gnarly.
Got a bonus, you know? Like, everybody.
All of the actors needed fucking. They were just very uncomfortable from what I could tell.
Here's the coolest thing about that scene. And, like, that's the biggest scene in this movie for me. That's the one I want to break down the most, because we have a girl whose eyes start to bleed and then her guts come out of her mouth.
The eyes bleeding looked really good.
Incredible,
right? I have no idea how they do it. I hope that was not uncomfortable, because that was my entire thought
the entire
way through. Because
it might have been.
There was no way to fake that. They had fucking red shit in their eyes.
And she's got a lot of hair, just like as a character. And they're using the hair to hide these blood vein lines that they've sort of make-upped onto her face. Like she literally has these like little tiny, almost invisible conduits going to the corners of her eyes. And like, I knew it was coming, so I was watching for it because I wanted to see how they did it a little bit. But they're just pumping red liquid into her eyes. It's probably a saline solution or whatever you would put in
Hopefully
your
context. Hopefully it's a saline solution.
That they've just dyed red. She doesn't blink the whole time.
And it fills like the waters of her eyes.
Yeah. And it spills out. It starts going down her cheeks and shit. It looks so fucking cool.
Yeah,
and
because so second plague upon thy house is undead psychic head explosion, where they look at you intensely and make your eyes bleed,
and then
your guts come out your mouth.
And then your guts come out your fucking mouth. So this is the other thing. Like, she really, I hope she got two bonuses. One for the eye goop, because it definitely did not look like it was going to be super comfortable, and she fucking killed it. And then also, they kept stuffing her mouth full of guts, and then she's just, like, letting it spill out. We cut to a reaction shot of her boyfriend, who's just horrified by it all, and then more guts are coming out. Eventually, it is,
like a prop head, because they're pushing, like, spleens and stomachs
out.
Oh,
my God, yeah, you're getting whole organs coming out. And I was under such a spell watching this movie for the first time. It was actually like 4 a.m. I think it was after like a Joe Bob drive-in thing. And then the second movie ended. I was getting ready to go to bed. And then this came on. And it's just like every 5 minutes, I was like, oh, I should watch some more of this. Oh, I can't leave now. What is happening here? And then like the next thing I know, the sun's coming up. And I'm just like, I just fever dreamed this whole fucking movie. And like, I was so tired and probably also stoned.
Did you watch it again this time and go, oh, wow, it really was what I remember.
Pretty much. It really holds up. Like, I watched it last night sober at 10 p.m. and it feels like I had been delirious. I've been awake for 36 hours. But yeah, like when I first watched it and all those guts were coming out of her mouth, I was like somebody in the theater in 1980. I was just like, I can't believe they got all this stuff to come out of that woman's mouth. That's insane. Like, I didn't even think it was a prop head. It's very clearly like paper mache mouth and teeth and shit.
It looked good.
Yeah. No, it looks great. And then she, of course, just gives the old head squeeze to her boyfriend.
It's crazy because it feels like everything else about this movie is very rigid. Like, the story feels very rigid. The character interactions with each other feel very rigid. It just feels very stiff and, like, unrehearsed. But then you have these murder sequences that are just so fluid and perfect.
Yeah. The camera movements in them are great.
Like, for some reason, one vengeful dad kills, what's his name, Bob? Who's...
Oh, man.
The town hates for some reason because he's simple and they think he's a bad guy, but he's not really. And...
He just seems like a horny 20-year-old.
And he like driller killers his head and they fucking go for it and it looks insane. It's maybe the best 80s special effects I've ever seen.
Yeah, it looks. They put a drill shockingly real
through his head, and somehow I don't know if it's a prop head or if it's the actual actor, and they've done a really great configuring of like the screw head going on one side and coming out the other side, but the mouth moves in like a dying, you know, like last ditch movement.
Well, I think it's like a theater knife or a theater syringe. I think like
but it's spinning and it's spinning.
I know it's spinning.
Yeah. My brain does not comprehend. My brain is like, wow, they really murdered a guy.
I think it's just two of those on either side with blood coming out each. It's not a real piece of metal or anything, but yes, it looks very convincing.
Most well-executed thing of the entire film.
Yeah, and the one death that truly
didn't make any sense.
No, well, it really didn't need to happen.
That
at all.
One was murder.
That one was true out-and-out murder.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
As we get closer to All Saints Day, like, they're doing some digging around. They're trying to get to the bottom of things. Where is this guy buried?
Let's go to the cemetery. Let's go here. Let's go back to the cemetery.
Let's go visit a therapist who's got some, I don't know, some info about the town. I really don't know what Jerry brings to the
table. He's got lead character energy
He's got a lead character perm is what he's got.
Don't you make fun of my Bob Ross.
He looks just like him. Yeah.
He's like early Bob Ross.
Uh-huh. Yeah, no, after this traumatic event, he had to go on to just like find his happy place and start painting. He moved to Portland or Alaska. He raised some squirrels and occasionally painted 13 glorious landscapes in an afternoon.
I do like that people are coming back from the dead, particularly the old woman that was in the funeral home.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird, though, because so Jerry has a patient named Sandra or Sarah or something, and she's an artist, and she's very high-strung, and she calls Jerry because the old woman who was in the funeral home, dead, is now dead on the floor of her kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Dead. Like, still in dead corpse dead. Form. So, yeah. Like, either she got up and walked around and then died again,
mm-hmm.
or she's got to recharge her undeadness. I don't know the rules, but I just thought it was fun. I don't know why we don't ever see her, like, walking around. We see her feet at some point being ominous, but...
Yeah, she's hiding.
Maybe she just wasn't a very good actress, because I really wanted to see her be undead.
Yeah, could have just
She had a fun hairdo.
She did. Yeah, no, she looks good. And then we've got a whole bunch of people, like, basically, like, as people die and they go to the funeral home, they come back as ghouls. They're all goopy and gross. They look hella evil.
They get pretty gooey.
Yeah, immediately, right? Like, as soon as they open back up, they're just like, oh, we've rotted 40 years, and we've got grossness all about us. They come after pretty much their family members is who they go after, mostly. And what kills me about this movie is that it's, like, they're racing to get the gates of hell closed before All Saints Day, which is November 1st, so there should be some fucking Halloween decorations everywhere.
Especially because we are in the greater New York area.
Yes, or at least that's what they tell us. It's very clearly Louisiana.
Yeah, there is a lot of Louisiana architecture.
Yeah, there's shutters everywhere. There's Spanish moss.
Spanish moss!
There's that humid fog.
There's a lot of humid fog.
And they basically just, like, slap away ghouls on their way to the cemetery where they go down into Father Thomas's tomb.
Yeah, the lead characters are really good at just, like, walking away from ghouls.
Yeah, unlike anybody else. Everybody's like, hey, what are you doing here? Why are you putting your hand in the back of my head? Oh, my brain got squished out.
One of my favorite moments is, so John, who is the little boy in town, his sister is murdered and she comes back and kills his parents. And he calls Jerry, who's like the town savior, and Jerry comes to get him. But at one point, John is running around town and he is confronted by his undead sister. And Jerry shows up and in real close proximity, everybody is within slapping distance of each other.
Yes.
Jerry turns to John and he's like, run away now, boy. Even though the undead sister is right there.
It's not even that quick. Oh, John, I found you. And he hugs him. He's like, are you okay? All right, now I want you to listen very closely to me, okay?
I love you, John.
Yeah. Like, he gives him a little bit of a pep talk, lets him know everything's going to be okay. Now I want you to go over
here. It's like he puts up his finger and he's like, I have to finish this session.
Yeah. And then he's like, all right, where were we? Yeah.
And then she just, like, blips away. She's like, I won't kill you. Like, why?
I don't know why the blips work. I just like it. So, and here's the thing, and this is a generalization, I think, of just about Italian horror movies and why I think they're so well suited to horror. It's because they are otherworldly in a way that American horror films never could be, because they don't use synchronized sound. And I think that's also why everything's so stiff, because, like, we're not using any of the dialogue recorded on set. They just didn't do that. Everything was dubbed. You know, it made sense back when everything was run by the government. And
I do love the audio in Italian films.
I was gonna lean on you at some point I think you need a 0.5 bump for the footsteps. You love a bad Italian footstep, and you get a lot of them in this movie.
My favorite sound effect in this movie was a lack of sound when they're climbing into the tomb and they spend a good 3 minutes opening the crypt. It's a big to-do. They're all pulling and pushing and pulling and pushing. And then Jerry, our hero, is like, I'm going to go in. And his mouth moves.
Oh, yeah. He says stuff to somebody. No sound comes out.
Nothing.
They could have cut it.
Dead silence.
They could have cut around that. Just cut to the moon. Come back. You know, anything.
Just cut to them climbing in from the bottom.
But that's what I think makes these Italian horror movies so good. And I think that's what Fulci was really nailing, especially with movies like this and with The Beyond, because he was making nightmares. Like, they were nightmares that people were living through in the real world, and, like, they didn't make any sense. They confounded you, they confuddled your brains. They just, nothing about this feels like real life, but it's happening to me right now. And I think that's because he knew what the movie was gonna look like with dubbed audio. Like, I think they made these horror movies specifically tailored to their process. And I think that's why they work. It almost feels like you're giving it a bit of a pass just because that's just how it is. But it's also the same way that black and white film looks better than 4K color stuff now, just because it's a completely different process.
That's the weirdest thing when you're watching these, like, remastered films, like, from the 40s, and then you go watch a film from 1980 and you're like, how did we degenerate film quality?
Yeah.
Shit got worse.
And they, I mean, even 1980's not bad, but, like, yeah, you get to, like, the early 2000s and stuff, and it's just like, I don't understand.
They're Guys, like, this looks like trash.
Yeah. It's just because of the chemical process. Like, you can, you could shot for shot remake something from the 40s. And, like, let's people have tried to do that and they failed. But, like, let's say you succeed.
I'm looking at
that.
You, psycho.
Yeah.
1960, but whatever.
Either way, like, let's say you do it and you succeed and it's perfect. No matter what, it's gonna look different. Just even if you shoot it on film now, it's gonna look different. Like, film is completely different. The way that it's processed, the way that it
we're
was captured.
We're in an entirely different location in space now.
Yeah, there's just the ozone layer. No, it's just like that. That's just a quality of this type of movie. And I think it's well suited for what Fulci's doing. I think, you know, it's like he's the right guy for the job for this kind of horror movie. And I love the nightmare imagery of it all.
Mm.
It seems like you're giving him a compliment for something that he didn't actually have a lot of involvement in, almost. But I think he's just playing to the strengths of what they do.
I think that's such a positive outlook. I love how optimistic you are. No, I honestly, I think that's great. I do really appreciate the kind of contrived sound of Italian horror. And I think it works really well for giallo films, for slashers, mm-hmm. because it retains a dreamlike quality, a fantastical quality that American slashers and our North American version of that is a lot more grounded and a lot less fantastical. Whereas yeah. you can kind of justify in an Italian slasher why the lighting is just so fucking moody and themed, because it just is.
Yeah. Or why a tornado of maggots will just come flying through your window.
Oh, God. The maggot snow machine in this. Oh, my God. Like I felt so bad for those actors were just getting pelted with maggots.
It looked not nice.
Pelted.
I assumed that we just had a few maggots glued to their faces, and it was just like Rice Krispies or whatever that were hitting them. But like the when you watch it, you're like, no, that's definitely a maggot. That's definitely a maggot. And then you look down, and the entire room is covered, like every square inch of it is covered with writhing maggots. These are real maggots. What a process. That set must have smelled so bad.
Definitely not something that you could recreate today, just with how they handle treatment of living things on sets now.
You don't think so? I think insects are different. Like, I don't know. I think insects are a completely different category. They do throw a cat in this movie.
I forgot about the cat. I was paying a lot of attention in the maggot scene because I was really removed from it because I was just worried about those poor actors.
Yeah.
Nobody walks when the film is filled with maggots, like when the scene is filled with maggots, everybody stands their ground, like nobody moves
their feet.
Maybe
they just don't want to step on a bunch of maggots.
Yeah, but nobody moves their feet. Like, I think they have to sweep the maggots out before they have to reset the room before anybody moves.
Oh boy, yeah. It's a great moment. It's gross.
It's fucking gnarly. Okay, do you want to hear something friggin' insane about this scene that I read?
Absolutely.
So, this is just from Wikipedia.
This is this particular scene with the maggots.
This isn't some crazy intense, like, research I did. I was just trying to, like, recap the plot for myself. The special effects scenes, including a scene where the cast is attacked by maggots via two wind machines and 10 kilograms of maggots.
10 kilograms.
To surprise Fulci, one crew member took some of the maggots and placed them in his pipe tobacco, which Fulci only learned about after a few puffs of what he was smoking, angering him immensely. Fulci would later theorize that this incident led to his future illness he underwent heart surgery in 1985, suffered ventricular aneurysm, contracted viral hepatitis, and later developed cirrhosis of the liver.
Oh my! Well, oh yeah, no, that definitely didn't happen.
That's just a
to do
series of unfortunate events.
Yeah. Boy.
Like, I don't know if smoking maggots contributed to that, because I feel like aneurysms are more complicated than that, but surely not good for you.
Gotta have somebody to blame, though, right? Can't just be you. Can't just be nothing. Can't just make no sense. Damn. That's crazy. I mean, it sounds like a great idea at first, right? Like, this is gonna be such a fun prank. Also, when we say that he put it in his pipe tobacco, there's a pretty good chance he put it in, like, the canister of the pipe tobacco, and he was hoping that he would open the tin to put some tobacco in his pipe and just see a bunch of maggots and go, bah!
But he was working like he's on his 23rd hour.
Right?
He's just jamming the tobacco in the pipe, looking at the dailies like
God damn. Oh, and for our American listeners out there, 10 kilograms of maggots is almost 30 pounds of maggots. That's a lot of fucking maggots. That's a lot of shovels.
That's like a hot tub of
so
maggots.
So what are they doing? So like they're just tossing them in front of the fan? Like, I don't know.
Honestly, I'm picturing snow machine.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. I was like, wow, they had some hella maggot cannon.
Like the Christmas ornament thing that the Who wife has in the Grinch live action.
Yeah.
Dunk, 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 dunk.
That's pretty great. Damn. The end of this movie also kind of makes no sense. Like, okay, so we're down in the tomb.
Oh, the end of this movie.
We're down in the tomb of Father Thomas. We got to close the gates. We've done no research. They're just like, nah, we're just going to figure it out.
And they're moving so slowly.
We're
going to
learn on
a
job.
They have no plans. And they're just hoping one of them is just going to come up with something and do it.
Even when they get to the cemetery, it's like, all right, guys, it's an hour. It's almost All Saints Day. Better mosey on over. There's no hurry. There's nothing.
No.
There aren't any ghouls chasing them or anything either. It's like, you got nothing in your way. Just like put a little pep in your step. Come on. You're trying to save
just
the
world. Just a light jog, even.
Damn. The crypt sequence, though, is great. Like, we're down in the underground tomb where Father Thomas has been interred, and...
Ooh, interred. What a word.
We've got all of these fucking skeletons just, like, popping up out of nowhere. Ghouls popping. Like, there's so much cobweb.
And we're getting less fresh down here. Like, we're finally getting into skeleton territory, and I'm like, finally, some crispy ghouls.
And they come out after.
I don't like a wet ghoul. I love a dry ghoul. Oh. I want to smack... If I smack it and dust comes up, like, that's my kind
of
ghoul.
Oh, we got one or two.
I don't want a wet ghoul.
Yeah, well,
I don't Fulci's like organs and goo.
Guy for you, I'm sorry.
But like, give me a pile of dust, and I'm like, ooh, spooky bones.
Kim's talking specifically about, I guess, House on Haunted Hill, and also the Jacob Marley from Scrooge
and Hocus Pocus with Billy. Yeah, love a dusty boy.
There's no real solution for it. I guess they just decide maybe if we stab Father Thomas with a sharp crucifix,
all will be well.
All will be well. And it is. They stab him in the dick with a big old crucifix. His entire lower half just like splits
off.
He's
like, he's the head vampire and they just got to shut it down.
Basically, yeah. But you don't stab him in the heart like you would a vampire. And as soon as like his...
The source of his power, of course.
As soon as his like lower intestines are all exposed, he just lights ablaze, catches on fire.
And then all the ghouls are on fire.
So great.
And because they're so dry and dusty, they light up real quick.
Right. Get those full body burns, man. It's the most dangerous
thing.
It was
a sad burn, though. It was in such an enclosed space. I was just really worried about actors during this watch.
I mean, yeah, you get worried about actors watching any movie.
I hate a body burn for that very reason. It just takes me out. I'm just like, are they wearing enough layers?
I think I love it for that reason.
I don't see a crew member's foot who's holding the fire extinguisher.
I think I'm just naive, and I just always assume that nobody got hurt if I'm seeing it on screen. They would never put a shot in if somebody like got mortally wounded.
No, they have to use it out of honor and
which
for the sake of.
I also kind of find respectable and cool. Like, if you told me the guy who did the Maniac Cop,
like, well, I better enjoy this.
Yeah, exactly. This is me.
Lost his mustache forever.
I pour one out for the homies when I'm watching the full body burn where somebody got hurt.
Yeah, it was a very claustrophobic area. To see a full body burn there, you're just like, oh, I don't like it.
Wow,
those are some low ceilings.
I'm real surprised you didn't like this one. I thought this movie was rad. It's got a fun score from Fabio Frizzi, who also did the score for
The
Beyond.
It's great. The fantasy drums in the crypt.
Sometimes when that score just like hard cuts, we're just going to a scene like no more music. No.
Yeah, like especially when John was running, he was like running to the mystery music, and then like they just like,
yeah, fuck it. Yeah.
He's still running, but we're out of track.
Yeah, no, I really like City of the Living Dead.
Can we talk about the final image though? Can you explain that to me? What's the final image, John?
I don't remember. I was too busy hooting and hollering. I don't remember.
You don't remember that they come out of the crypt, and John's there, and they're so happy to see John.
Oh, yes. And then they scream. Oh, no! And the music changes, and John's still running toward them, happy to see them, and we freeze frame, and then the image just, like, breaks like a spider web. And you're like, we had to rewind it, like, three times. Like, oh, we must have missed something. Maybe
is
his
John
eyes
a ghoul
up.
Without any... Like, was that a decision made in the editing room? They're like, we should have a darker ending.
Yeah.
Let's just pretend John's a ghoul with no reshoots at all,
no
makeup, no, and we're just going to end on him smiling and assume the worst.
It's just one of those things. You got to send people out on like one final last image of horror.
John was 12 by the time, so they couldn't.
Yeah, they couldn't bring him back in. Nah, yeah, it's a choice, that's for sure. I don't think it necessarily holds up, but the rest of the movie is a fucking ride, man.
You know, the ending just makes it even more special for me.
We talking about a 0.5 bump special? What are we talking about? What are you at right now? Like 5 out of 4? Like, you love like with all these bumps. Like you got a ghoul bump. I haven't done any bumps. You got
just
a footstep bump. You got that last image bump.
2 out of 4 is where we are.
With all those bumps, huh? Yeah, that makes sense. That sounds about right. I honestly
for the 4 a.m. of it.
I thought we were just pals watching a cool movie last night. I thought we were both riding the same wave. It seemed like we were both reacting.
We were reacting to the same things, but in a different... No, it was an experience and one that I don't think I'll ever be able to replicate for the first time.
See, this is where I am like, well, clearly it's at least a 3 out of 4. It's all about the experience. And if you're just like, I've never seen anything like this before and I never will again.
I'm giving it a 2-point reduction for how Jerry responds to chaotic action scenes and how slow everyone walks.
Okay, well, I think this is at least a 3 out of 4. I don't think it's a perfect
movie.
Great,
so you rated a 3 out of 4 then. You're allowed to do that.
Yeah, I had a great time. I have been waiting to talk about this movie in the podcast. I thought it was the right amount of bonkers that you were going to rock with it, but that's fine. It's okay, you know.
It is quite bonkers.
I know you.
It's up there.
I'm sure you had a good time watching it, but like, yeah, it's not your
favorite
movie.
What of the sex doll? Why did it inflate?
No idea. He also asks no questions. We didn't talk about it. It's one of the good things, I believe, is what you said. But yeah, so that the kid who gets drilled in the head when he's in his weird little studio
apartment. We follow him a
lot.
He runs around all over the place, and then he just dies, and we're like, well, I thought he was a main character.
I don't really know what his role in all of this was, except for the town to maybe blame him for a couple things. But like, we know that he's not guilty of anything. We know that he hasn't
done anything.
We saw the ghouls. He's just this horny guy who's got sex dolls and
was that his doll?
I think so.
I thought it was the priest.
He seemed pretty surprised to see it. Like, he was like, oh, hey, baby.
Yeah.
But, like, when we find him and he's, like, sleeping in his, like, weird little hovel, it's full of porno mags. He's got, like,
cut-out photos. I thought that's because he worked in a mechanic's office.
Oh, you think that's
this
all
just,
it
like,
is?
This is just, like, the decor.
You're like, oh, this is just, yeah, this is just what we call mechanic's wallpaper.
Exactly.
Yeah, this movie's bizarre, but like bizarre in a way that every Fulci movie is bizarre. It does not have, it does not necessarily have answers, but it's got some great special effects. I don't think anybody necessarily gets their eyeballs destroyed in the movie. So that's a sticking point for you.
The red in the eyes looked pretty uncomfortable.
Yeah, he then when we, by the time we got to the Beyond, he was like, I didn't do enough with the eyeballs.
That was my real folly.
But yeah, 3 out of 4 from me, 2 out of 4 from Kim. Let us know where you stand. Let us know what you thought of Fulci's City of the Living Dead. And if you think this is a good pairing with the Sentinel. I mean,
no, it's a good pairing.
I'm going to at least sit with that. Like, I did
both
my job.
Both set in quote-unquote New York.
I did my job. Kim phoned it in.
I came to the table.
Hit us up in the Nightmare on Film Street Discord at nofspodcast.com/discord. Let us know what you thought of this weirdo movie from Fulci.
So gross.
And all about your favorite gates from hell. There's lots of them. Is it the gate? Is that your favorite gate from hell?
Until next time, I'm Kim.
I'm John.
Stay creepy.
It appears you made it out alive, but we'll get you next time. Help us to grow the horde. Leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you subscribe. More terror can be found lurking on our website, nofspodcast.com. Until next time, stay creepy, fiends.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of plan investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.